Hi, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of China on the Rocks, an F&B podcast where we talk about food and beverage and everything in between. My name is Logan. I'm joined by my leather jacket clad host, Anna.
Hi, guys. Anna here. Good seeing you again, Logan.
Good seeing you again. We've had quite a week together, haven't we?
Yes. But first, let's have a shot.
Shot. Yep.
Cheers.
Ah, we're in the taco truck. Life is good.
We're drinking Jameson, back to the classics.
Yeah, just like a little reset on our shot journey.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yep. We haven't had some JMO here.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
So, Logan, what happened this Tuesday?
What happened this Tuesday? We went to a distillery tour.
Yes, we went to the High Seas Distillery.
We did. We went to High Seas Distillery. It's probably the only distillery in mainland Shanghai. There's one on the island of
Mainland. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Julu Gin. But in Shanghai, we only have High Seas for whiskeys, gins, rums, vodkas. Everything that our guest last week, Brian, talked about.
Oh, is it really the only distillery in
Shanghai? That does whiskey and rum and gin and vodka.
Oh, cool. I actually didn't know. I've been to some breweries in the area, but I've never been. You're right. Never been to a distillery here.
Yeah. So there's a lot of breweries here, and there are a lot of good breweries. Just distilleries in Shanghai, there's not many.
So I love the distillery.
Yeah, so tell us about your thoughts on the distillery.
Oh, it's so nice to be to a distillery that's new and very clean and shiny. I think that's really nice. In my experience, most distilleries I've been to have been quite run down by volume, by years, by all that. So it's nice to see the beginning of something and I want to see again in like a few years. But I was pleasantly surprised. My favorite part was the aging room. Because, of course, we know all the standard expressions of, you know, your standard, the standard gin, the standard aged gin, the standard whiskey. But I did not know how much the experimenting with different casks. And I...
Yeah, what was your favorite cask?
For me, was the ex-cognac ones.
And I thought we should have been drinking that today.
I should have brought it, yeah.
That was kind of the whole... Maybe next
know.
Week.
I kept... Yeah, I can bring it next week. But it was really interesting. So... Brian, of course, and Dan, loving the spirits, decided to just buy different casks and experiment. And there was some, I don't know if it was Burgundy or Bordeaux red wine casks. And we had the cognac. Of course, they work a lot with ex-bourbon casks, but also some, there were several. Also Chinese red wine.
The Chinese ones were cool. I thought the cherry cordial one was very interesting. It'll be fun to see in a couple of years how these things taste. Because with whiskey, with a lot of aging processes, it's just time.
Yeah. But it was interesting that we were mentioning, too, that the cognac one, it was in the cask for only like 10 months or something.
Yeah.
Or 8 months. And it already had so much flavor. It was already so creamy and nice and like really nice aging process. And that was really nice to taste all sorts of different things. I was a little skeptical. I'm like, I drink so much High Seas. Am I going to go there just to taste High Seas? But no, it tasted a lot of fun stuff. And the bar and tasting room is amazing.
Yeah, we were thinking that's definitely like a birthday party spot. That's something that's super fun. I mean, if you haven't had a chance to go to a distillery, like if you go to Scotland or Ireland, we were with some friends that went with us from Buchladdich and Remy Martin Cointreau. And they were like, at the Buchladdich distillery, it's really a lot of mold and there's a funky malt smell. And at this distillery, it's so new and clean that you don't really see it. So, like, there's still a nice distillery smell. And, like, when we were drinking the White Dog from the still, there was definitely a flavor.
Oh, I actually thought it was quite neutral in a good way, but more in the sense of, like, I think that the best smell is in the aging room because it just smells like wood, like oak. Yeah. And like warm, it's really nice. Like I also love due to I think new regulations because if it's still considered like food and drink like whatever the FDA here, there are certain rules and they have this really cool doors between all the areas and the delivery areas and it was kind of cool.
Yeah, there's like you walk into a room, you have to close like this special electronic door that would go down behind you. Then you hit a button, kind of like very Austin Powers esque.
Yeah, it's kind of like the next door only opens and the door behind was closed, but it's all like. Electronics, so it's kind of cool.
I was literally, it looked like Austin Powers, like Dr. No's, like one of his like hideouts. It was very cool.
Oh, I felt more like it was like a zombie movie. Like we entering the lab of sorts.
Well, the mini-me freaked me out, but that was it. No.
No, it was definitely really, really cool, and I'm really glad, and I can't wait to go again in a few years to just check the progression of it all, and definitely a lot of room to grow. And oh, and the pot still is great. It's like a copper pot still that's like legit.
It is never, we will never put this on Instagram because we never remember to do that.
Never remember to take photos or go on Instagram. Yeah, we're horrible.
We're very good at that. But I mean, that was a fun way to start the week. And then before that, how was your weekend, Anna?
Ooh, how was the weekend? I bartended for an event for High C, speaking of the devil, for the 10th anniversary of Wellington School at the W Hotel. And I got my ass kicked.
Yeah. Now, you're at a bar at the W for 400 people. So what's going on? What kind of bar is it? Is it pay to, like, every drink you pay for?
No, it was full open bar.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. And sorry, excuse me.
So, I mean, while Anna's sneezing to death, basically our topic today, open bars.
Yes. So it was a full open bar. It was within the boundaries of the actual event space. So you talk about the same room where all the gala dining tables are and all the shows and the stage and all that. They also had the bar. And it was the only bar. And it was full open bar.
Oh, it was the only bar for 400 people.
Yes.
And how many people were bartending with you?
Just me.
And what were you making?
So we were making martinis, so like dry martinis, classics.
Like gin martinis?
Yeah, gin martinis. Sometimes people order vodka. We have the High Seas vodka too, so, you know, negotiable, but trying to do the gin martinis. We were making a whiskey smash, like a swizzle, and a gin basil smash. And highballs, like vodka soda, gin and tonics, and so on, right? But, yeah, yeah. That's all I have to say, yeah.
So you were telling me a story about somebody that walked in the room before we got on camera, or before we got on pod, I mean. Somebody was doing a little bit of a...
Yeah, So initially, I think that there's always a miscommunication with the venue, right? So the hotel also had set up right next to me like a big fridge, like a big cooler, where they were keeping all their wines because they were serving the wines on the tables, because during dinner, there were three different courses and... You know, sparkling wine to begin, red wine, white wine, and so on. But I don't know what the hotel was thinking, because they only had two staff doing that, and then me doing all the drinks, and it's 450 people. The doors just opened, so 7 o'clock for everybody to come in the dining room, and this guy, tall, I don't know, I think American guy, started clicking me. And I'm already like, oh no, sir. Oh no, you didn't. So he's there like clicking me. And being like, hey, I want 2 bottles of champagne. So I said, I'm only here making cocktails. So if I can get you like a martini or so on, or you can find somebody from the hotel staff. And they're like, I'm willing to pay. Can you not listening to me? I want 2 bottles of champagne right now. And then I just looked around. Like I did, you know, that meme of like John Travolta just being like looking around. I'm like, well.
She has her hands up like John Travolta.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I don't have it. And he's like, go get it. And I was like, no. And he kind of started complaining about the service. And I said, like, sir, I work for the brand. I'm not here. I don't work at the hotel. Even if I want it, I don't know how to find the champagne. I don't know where they keep it. I don't know how much they cost. I don't know how to even take your money. So maybe go find somebody from the hotel. And then he had this realization that he was asking for the branded cocktail bar to serve him a bottle, 2 bottles of champagne. And then he just said, fine, and walked away really pissed off, but never apologized.
How great did that make you feel, though? You're like, I don't work here.
Yeah, no, that felt really good. I'm like, not my problem.
Yeah, I don't even know where the bathrooms are.
Like, true, actually.
If you start choking, I'm not here to help you.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
Get somebody from the hotel.
Also, they can't fire me. Yeah, like, I don't know. And yeah, I don't know if you got champagne.
Is that why
at the
you started smoking just in the middle of the thing? You lit a cigar. And you're
like, it's like, I'm like, I'll give up.
You did that Heath Ledger thing and just walked out of the hospital.
Yeah, no. I just, I just let it happen. But apart from that, like, everyone was really nice and everything was really cool. But it was just, it was an overwhelming amount of drink served.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. There's two ways to look at it. And that's what we wanted to talk about today. On the bar side of it, and then on the customer side of it. So let's approach it from the other side. We've all been in open bars before.
Wait, I have a quick complaint first.
Sure.
What I thought was funny is that there's this big cooler, right? And then it was this one girl that works in the hotel. Basically, she's supposed to serve all the bottles of wine to the tables or something. And the customers are, I guess the wine wasn't going, the guests, I guess, in this case. But the bottles weren't reaching the tables fast enough. So people were coming to them to get the bottle. So like the guests were like, hey, can I get a bottle of sparkling wine? Can I get a bottle of white? Whatever, right? The girl didn't know how to open bottles.
The girl that worked at the W Hotel in the bar.
Yeah, I think she was a trainee or something, but she couldn't open the bottles. So I ended up also opening all the bottles. Like she couldn't work a corkscrew or open a sparkling bottle, which was fine, but just made it like more time consuming. Later, a guy came over, like a more senior guy, and then he was full on taking charge and opening all these bottles. But for a while, she was giving the bottles out to people with the corks.
Like champagne bottles and stuff.
Yeah, but rule number one, when you have a room full of people and you are in charge of the beverage or you're in charge of the event, you never give a bottle with a cork, especially if it's champagne, because people will think it's funny to shake it around and all that, and it'll hit somebody in the eye, and it has happened.
Yeah, of course. It's happened to the best of us.
Yeah, because people, they are in a different reality where they are potting and they're not thinking about the consequences. And you give them a bottle of, like, Prosecco with the cork in it, and a lot of people don't know how to open properly. A lot of people think it's... There are people that actually think you should shake it before you open.
Yeah.
Which just creates more pressure, and that's how people get hit with it. So I was just watching these bottles go out, and it's giving me anxiety. So I'm like, I'm going to open all of them, and then we just keep serving them. But yeah.
I could say, like, from the opening when we did my first night at Mint, we did so many champagne bottles, and I know how to saber champagne.
Yeah.
And so sabering champagne is super cool. Like, you take the bottle, and you basically, it's a frozen, like ice cold bottle of champagne or sparkling. You take a knife on the seam of the bottle. The bottles have seams on them, if you look, and you run the blade along the top. And if you do it right, with a really sharp or a good knife or a saber, it pops off the top. It breaks the glass clean. The pressure pushes out any glass that would be stuck. And then you pour it. It's a very cool party trick, and it looks good. It's a very fun thing to
fun.
Do.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
But you do that. And in China, we have like our recycling trash cans. So, you know, I did like maybe 4 or 5 bottles right away. Pop, 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 pop. And the poor IE had to go to the hospital that night because she was reaching in the thing to grab the bottles. And everything had the top of the bottle cut off.
Oh, no. Super sharp.
So bad. I mean, not bad enough that I didn't do it again. But like, that was my, like, but free flow champagne. So our tangents aside, like. Customer, let's start as a customer and then change it to the bar side.
Okay.
So when, like, I was just at the W, who has the, I want to say their staff are, for W Hotel, I will say this on air, in Shanghai, do better with your staffing because it's embarrassing. I was at a brunch the other day, the dim sum brunch is about 400 RMB per person with free flow drinks. So vodka soda is on the free flow. I drink vodka sodas at a free flow brunch, Kettle One, no problem. In Chinese, I kept ordering vodka soda shui. The staff kept hearing vodka soda shui. They'd repeat back to me. I would get vodka on the rocks, and they'd be saying, oh, your soda water near your table. You can just help yourself. And I was like, that's not how it works. So Logan was getting maybe 8 or 9 vodkas on the rocks. And I was like, I don't want to get up for the table.
So I will agree with you, but I think it's not only the W Hotel. I think it's a hotel in general in China. And as someone that has worked in hotels, I know why. it's because I don't know in the West. I never worked in a hotel in the West, so I can't compare. But here, what happens is a lot of kids after high school go to college, especially in Switzerland, to study hospitality. And part of getting their degree in hospitality, they have to work for 6 months to a year, depending on the course, in an F&B environment, but it has to be like accredited. Like they have to have like proof of this job in order to like graduate. And the only type of places that you can get that is not like little independent bars. They usually are corporate companies that have like a whole internship program that can like give them the credits for the school, right? So what happens is that half of all the staff in F&B hotels here tend to be trainees, and they are usually 20-year-olds that are in their second or third year of college that never really experienced a lot of F&B. They haven't been drinking yet. They have drunk, but, you know, students, dive bars. Like, you know, they haven't experienced a hotel service. They haven't been in the customer side a lot, so they only know the book smarts of F&B. So they tend to be a little impractical in a lot of the decisions making, and hence why there's a lot of confusion on that end. But they tend to be good kids. And
well, I will say, because we're on the customer side, not my problem.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't pay, charge me as much.
Yeah, because hotels charge a lot.
If you're a trainee, hey, give me a trainee price. Like, for real, like, I really don't care. Not my problem. If I'm paying full price, I want full price service.
That is true. I do feel annoyed at that too. Like, a lot of those, like, mishaps always happen in hotels, and they seem to be like, it is what it is. And you're like,
okay. Five-star hotels. Like, we're talking like a really, like, W, really, in Shanghai is a high-class hotel. Nobody would go to it because it's really far away and it sucks. But at the same time, I've worked at the W. I was bored there. Like, it's not like a W you go to anywhere else in the world where, like, it's a happening spot. They try their best to be a happening spot. It's very far away. There's two brunches that are handled poorly. But it's one of those things where that charge me full price, then I want full price service.
Yeah, I had a similar experience in another hotel. I won't say the name. I'm not that confident on saying this name. But I went to their brunch as well, also with a free flow, and the drinks were, like, horrible. But to the point that don't offer these cocktails if you're going to just make them the worst version possible of it. Like, you could have just given us wine and vodka sodas and gin and tonics and that's it. Instead, you made this really appealing menu for very expensive, and then it's just scraping the bottle of, like, the barrel. And I feel like you ordering something that is on their menu and the staff doesn't know about it, and you're like, yeah, okay.
That's sometimes a language barrier, but if it's on the menu and it's in print and they're confused, that seems like a trainee thing. And at the same time, they have F&B directors that get paid well.
But I'll say something, and the part of the customers that I don't care, if you're talking about a Western brand international hotel, the staff needs to speak English.
Yeah.
I don't care if you don't. Like, it's literally the only, like, kind of... If you go to a local little independent place, of course not. We are in China. It's not their job. If you go anywhere like that, I don't care. Not my problem. Either. I'm not entitled to it. But if you're talking about a hotel that's catering to getting foreigners to stay at, you should have staff that can talk to foreigners.
Yeah, I could be at any peninsula hotel in the world, and every staff, except for sometimes in China, they won't speak English.
I'll say, like, the Shangri-La is really good at having English-speaking staff. When I worked there, like... except for one person, but it was a bar back, so didn't do a lot of customer interaction. Everyone spoke English.
Yeah, I mean,
so I was pretty easy to work there, pretty easy to communicate and all that.
Now, instead of the negative, let's turn this into a positive. What are your favorite things? Like, Free Flow Bar, and I think we just did this recently, or maybe I went with some other friends. What are your moves? What are your go-tos and go...
As a customer?
Yeah, as a customer. We're still on the customer side.
Okay. Unless there's something really, really, really awesome on it, like a crazy delicious sounding drink and all that, I go for simple because I guess, even as a customer, I kind of know how it is to be on the other side. So yeah, give me a vodka soda, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Unless you really appeal to me, like you put like some delicious special martini on the menu and I'm like, oh, I need to have that. Generally, I go simple.
See, my move, I always walk up to the bar station, especially if I like to get to Free Flows on time. Like, I'm literally, if it starts at 12, I'm there at 11:59.
Make sure to make a money's worth.
I'm right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm paying a lot of money. But then I get there, I walk up to the bartenders. Like, my favorite Free Flow spectacle brunch is Weston Brunch. It's super fun. There's cool bartenders. It's always a different theme. The food is there. But, like, depending on what you want to go for, you're going to have a good time. But, like, I always walk up to the bars. There's, like, a little bartender section. And I always talk to them. I always buy shots right away. Not for money, but like I just get, hey, give me 6 shots of this. And then I have a shot with them. Everybody, hey guys, I'm Logan. I want to make sure it's easy. I'm going to just order vodka sodas. Or go, what's your easiest thing to make? You're going to see my table. There's going to be a lot coming. If it's in the West, I'll give money right away. Like if it's
like
a free
tipping, flow, yep.
Like if it's a wedding, I'll put down a 50 and be like, here you go, guys. I'm here to party. If you're busy, don't worry about me. But if you're not busy, just when I wave, just vodka soda me. Make your life easy. And then you have a rapport and you're not the jerk snapping at people. Never snap.
Yeah, never snap. No, snapping. That's what I was actually telling about the guy that snapped about the champagne bottle. If he didn't snap and if he was a little nicer, I am in the group chat with the hotel. I could have made that happen. I could have texted him like, hey, there's a guy here that wants 2 bottles of champagne. How do I proceed? Can you bring it, right? I could have helped him. But once he starts snapping, I'm like, I could, but I won't.
Yeah. Well, it kind of reminds me like... Do you remember the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Yes.
So there's a scene where Marshall is like at the breakfast buffet or something, and he gets like...
His name is not Marshall, but he was Marshall at How I Met Your Mother, the actor.
Forgetting Sarah... Oh, yeah, whatever. What's his name in the... Whatever his name
is. Yeah, whatever his name is.
But like, so the actor, Jason Segel...
Yes.
...is sitting in the restaurant for the breakfast buffet in Hawaii, and he gets like a vodka orange juice or something. And that guy like walks up to him and he's like, a little extra vodka for you, or whatever his spirit is, a little for later. He's like, I got you. And he gives like the little Hawaiian like...
The hang loose.
Hang loose. And the guy's like, oh, very cool. Like he's thinking he's the friend. And then later on, they go to some party and he gets punched in the face by the same guy. Because at work, the guy's very nice. He's doing a free flow. But after work, he's still a different person. So I know that with bartenders, when you're at the free flow, you just be nice to people. They'll be nice to you. After work, you don't. It's not the same person, right? So if you treat them like people and be like, okay, cool, free flow, we're gonna party, we're in this together. It's like a birth. We're gonna do this together. We're both gonna breathe, and we're gonna get out of it. Something beautiful is gonna be created. So like as a customer, I always try to talk to the bar right away for drink free flow. And we can only talk about China drink free flows. In the U.S., it's not as wild and over the top with hard liquor as it is in China.
Yeah, there's basically no rules here. They'll give you a bottle, basically. I also think like one of my annoyances with like working free flow is that I remember now, I used to do free flow brunches too. And I remember a lady coming to me because she wanted a mimosa. And then I said, we don't have orange juice, because we just wasn't part of the actual menu, right? We don't have orange juice. And then she looked at me and said, well, you have oranges, don't you? Yeah. And I was like, yes, but you know that. You need to make juice out of them. And who's going to do that? Not me.
Like, here's a spoon, lady. Go.
Yeah.
No, I mean, at Talkalicious, we do a free flow brunch every Saturday and Sunday. And the rule is one glass per person. You know, like you have two hands, but it's one glass per person.
Yeah, no, agreed. Yeah, very much so.
And so you see like people like they'll have like three glasses. Oh, can I get six drinks for my friends? But like, no.
I'll make an exception if it's like a soda water, like a non-alcoholic, and then a drink. It's like, yeah, it's different. Like, but you don't get two cocktails at once. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because also, you don't want to lose money. You also want to pace it, because if everybody's getting three drinks at a time, like, they will get too drunk. They probably won't even finish, and you are wasting your bottom line.
That's the thing. You don't want to... Oh, shoot. We switched over to the bar side.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We can't even help ourselves.
We can't even help ourselves. Yeah. Customer side, I say my move is always I walk up to the bartenders. I kill them with kindness. I try to order the easiest things I can, and I know that we're in it together. What's your moves?
I guess my move is much more simple. I just go simple. I just wait. I'm very patient. So if I see that there's lambs, I don't keep pushing.
Oh, yeah. 100% patience.
I will wait as long as it's necessary. And I'll just be like, hi, can I have a vodka soda when you have a chance? And then I'll just wait. And it's never been a problem. Also, I think there's this in the customer side too. But I think there's this hectic energy when there is like free flow. Everybody's like in a hurry. Oh, my God. You have to. I'm like, it's usually 2 or 3 hours. Like, yeah, you can drink more drinks. If you just take your normal pace, it's going to be worth the money.
Yeah.
Like, calm down. You can have, like, 4 drinks in an hour. Like, you don't have to, like...
That's the thing. It's with these weekend warriors. They don't understand, you know? It's, like, same thing as New Year's Eve. If you do a free flow on New Year's Eve, you don't want the people dead by, like, 11.
Yeah, no. I pace myself. I have patience. I just order basic stuff. I'm pretty easy going. I got that person that waits in line, you know. I don't bring that hectic, stressful energy to the bar.
Yeah, I mean I try not to. Like, a lot of times what we go to for free flow, it's you're sitting at the table, you're like, oh, let me have another one when you have a chance, let me have another one, just let it go.
I will say though, if it gets to the point for me to complain about the free flow, it's because it's too slow. Because it has happened to me to get a free flow and take me like almost an hour to get my first drink, and I'm like, now you're taking the piss. Now, you know, yeah, I'm being patient, but you're not helping me here.
I mean, I was at a free flow on Saturday at one of a very cool local sports bar, and they had Bloody Marys. But I was like, are you guys using a premix, or are you doing vodka plus tomato juice and all this stuff? And they're like, oh, it's vodka plus tomato juice and all this stuff to make a Bloody Mary. They premixed the batch of Bloody Mary stuff. And I was like, can I just get vodka soda, because I don't want to drink Bloody Marys? And sometimes people will be cool with you, and sometimes they're not. They're like, no, you have to drink this. So they were nice to me, so I was just drinking vodka sodas, because Bloody Mary mix also costs more money.
Yeah, and also it's faster and easier for them to make vodka sodas.
Yeah, I was like, just don't do that for everybody else, but I'll just take vodka sodas. But I mean, that's as a customer side. Now let's switch to the bar side.
Oh, let's switch to the bar side. To open the bar side. It's a hell.
Oh, it's a hell.
Hell on earth. I hate it.
It's the worst.
I hate every part of it. Yeah. I hate people. I hate making drinks. I hate
just yelling at my bar back, more ice, more beer. Let's more go. Ice.
And for me, the worst part on being on the service side, actually, the being busy is not the part that I hate. Is how much people are, like, they'll see how slammed you are, and they'll still think that maybe you can't hear them or something. Because they'll be ordering a drink, and I'll be like, right away, I'm just finishing these drinks, get to you right away. And then you're still making the order, like, before them. And they're like, hi, I said to Vaga, hey, hi, did you forget my order? And you're like, can you not see what I'm doing? Do I look like I'm here on my phone and I forgot your order? Like, I'm just busy. Like,
yeah, there's tickets. There's a time. I saw when you ordered it. It came in at this time.
It's this expectations that you're going to drop everything to make their drink because somehow they are special. So they have to get their drink first.
That's main character syndrome.
Yeah, because I don't know, because they ask in front of your face or because they ask nicer than somebody else. And you certainly, I don't do any priorities either. I go for the tickets.
Yeah.
And if you order, I basically, if you order from through me at the bar, right, I add you to that ticket docket, basically, or after this ticket. It's like, you're still going to wait.
Yeah.
Unless it's like literally handing you a bottle of beer.
Yeah, then if it's a bottle of beer, like, it's pop, here you go.
Next yeah,
pop.
Yeah, yeah. Then I'll skip. But generally, like, I'll go through the ticket. So I heard your order. I acknowledge your order. I agree with you, but I am still doing something else.
Yeah.
And you get, like, in the flooding of people, like, especially what happened in this event was that, like, there were times there's, like, 10 people in front, like, a wall, a human wall of people ordering drinks. And it's, like, it's going to happen when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm one person here. I'm making all these drinks. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, you'll have all these drinks come up, blah, 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 blah. You get your flow. You can start pre-batching a little bit. Like, and then you get somebody come up to you. Oh, can I have just a hot water?
Like, no.
No, get out.
Yeah, I had people coming to me being like, can I have mocktail? And I'm like, no, sorry, because I'm only doing cocktails. Why not? I was like, well, because I'm working for a whiskey brand. So, yeah. You know. And then they're like, well, but I don't drink. I'm like, again, you can ask the hotel for a non-alcoholic. Yeah. Like, I don't know. And then I made that mistake. I made one for one girl. And then, of course, it spread like wildfire that was happening. And then I had people, but you made for that? I'm like, ugh.
Nope.
Oh, I made mistakes. What I should have just said no.
I have soda. I have Coca-Cola. I have Diet Coke.
Yeah.
I have water.
That's why I never do anything nice to people.
Never volunteer. That's
never
the rule.
Volunteer. That's what happens. Like, yeah. No, but overall, it was fine. Look, it was fine. I was just very... I just got my ass kicked, which was a lot of people for... And a lot of people that wanted to drink.
Yeah.
Right? And like...
I've just given bottles away sometimes. Like, just off. Here you go.
We had all the spirits kind of tied up by volume. I had to keep them because if a few bottles went away, then I wouldn't have like enough. But I was doing that with wine sometimes to buy time.
Oh, yeah, with wine, with bottles of wine is no problem. But champagne or sparkling, yes, problem.
Yeah, but I was just like, how about a bottle of wine instead? Why do I do this? You can come back later because I'm behind. I'm like 5 drinks behind here. It's going to take a while. No, people are fine. People are understanding. A lot of people are like, oh, it's okay. Forget the cocktail. Just get me a gin and tonic. And like, no problem.
Yeah.
So it was okay. It was just... I'm old, you know.
It's like after they stormed the beaches of D-Day.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh.
They've made it through the gauntlet of Normandy, and they're like, okay, now we're at the top. What do we do? I'll have a gin and tonic now.
As a customer, I love free flow, but as working free flow, I just don't. Not for me.
That's the thing. You have to have a truncated menu on free flow. Like when we do it here at Talkalicious, we have a very easy menu that there's nothing blended. There's nothing that takes more than like a monkey that could do it.
Yeah, no, I had a pretty easy post free flow too. It was not even about that. It was just about like that flow of free flow doesn't stop. So I think there's something very just just annoying about being on an open bar side, you know?
Now, how was your glass and ice situation and garnish situation? Like what part of the free flow did the ice and glasses, I'm sorry, ice and garnish run
No,
out?
I actually didn't because in hotels they have those little carts of ice.
Oh, okay.
They're quite big. They have like, I think like 100 kilos of ice inside or something. So ice I had like right there, no problem. Glassware, they were pretty good at it too. They had plenty of backup, so I had no issues. Garnish, I don't think this person, because it's a school. I think one of the moms was the one organizing the event. So she got all the garnishes ahead of time because we send a list and they prepared and all that. But then when I came, there was only one little Tupperware of the garnishes. And then she said like, oh, the rest is in the fridge somewhere far away. And I'm just like, okay, then we don't have any more than this. I don't know what part of a free flow little old me is going to go across the whole hotel back of house into some sort of fridge somewhere to find the said garnishes. Like, I'm like,
that seems like, yeah.
Okay.
Like,
so we just have this Tupperware of garnish. Noted.
So
then we start just not garnishing. Then we start just lowering this, lowering that. But it worked out fine. I could have gone for a couple more hours, but I think that was just the point that we're running low on everything and everything's getting a little messy that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just put the bottles on the table, put a big bucket of ice, all the mixers, and walk away. Just let them self-serve. And I think that's how the night kind of ended. People are just making their own.
Yeah. Well, what was the number one seller?
Definitely gin and tonics.
Gin and tonics?
Well, yeah.
Nice. Because, I mean, usually gin and tonics, not that hard. Vodka soda. Like, highballs are very
fast. That was not the problem. There's a lot of cocktails. But the cocktails were going really fast, too. But, again, like, I ran out of key ingredients. So then I just started canceling them. Just, like, 86.
Yeah, you're out. No, sorry. No more water for you. Out.
Yeah, I mean, I could have gone find this said fridge, which I also don't know where this fridge was. It was like, oh, it's in the fridge in the back. I'm like, that means nothing to me.
Yeah, I don't work here. Yeah, I have no idea where this is.
I have no idea. Also, it's a hotel. There's many kitchens with many fridges with many areas. I'm like, which fridge?
Yeah, that seems like, were you being the asshole?
Nah, it's fine.
No, that's why I'm segueing.
Oh, we're going to do Reddit stories today?
We better do it. Let's go. So with these Reddit stories, Anna finds them. I don't read them. She reads them to me. We react.
Okay, this is an interesting one. I guess we're going to have to discuss on both sides here as the customer and as... Okay, not as customer. As the bartender and as the organizer for the event. Okay. Am I the asshole for bringing a bottle to an open bar? So I, 27, female, live in California, and we have family in New York. My cousin invited me to her wedding, mainly my siblings, boyfriend, and they basically went to the wedding in California, right? So the wedding was an intimate wedding with around 50 people, right? And it was a beautiful venue. Everyone was attended was beautiful. I don't know why these details are here. I don't care how beautiful people are. Get to the bottle, woman.
Yeah, go for it, jerk.
We go to the bar and find that there is an open bar. We wanted to start the night right, so we asked for shots all around, one per person. The bartender told us that apparently in the state of New York, shots can only be given with ice. I don't know.
I've never bartended in New York.
But New York City is under New York State laws, right? Because in New York City, you can. I've had shots.
Many a shot in New York City,
Plenty of shots in New York City. But also,
maybe it's a free flow thing. I don't know.
But upstate as well. Like, I've been upstate New York and it can... Maybe it's a free flow.
Maybe it's free flow. I don't know.
Anybody from New York that can confirm this? My entire family is from California, so I looked at him, and he looked at me like, did we hear him? So we asked him to clarify and explain how is it preventing people from getting drunk. We can still shoot it, even with ice in the glass. He made the strongest drink that he could think, and it tasted more like a mix of alcohols, maybe like an old-fashioned or something. Sorry, I'm trying to... The grammar is really bad, so I'm trying to make sense of it. We then decided to ask for an adios motherfucker, which, by the way, it's the deformed brother of a Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, it's with like blue carousel on top.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's like, what if a Long Island could taste worse? He asked us to explain what's inside. We were surprised he didn't even know what that was. Okay, fair. It's not many people know this drink. It's a shitty drink. But we figured it probably was not a common drink out in New York. So we showed him the ingredients and he said he didn't have two of those ingredients. We then asked for double shots of mixed drinks and he said only one shot was allowed inside. There are some states that have those rules. You're only allowed to have a couple units of alcohol per drink. So a single would be 2 units. And
yeah, you can't have like a martini in a shot in New Mexico.
Yeah, correct. And like a beer is a unit, right? And then like a vodka soda is 2 units and that's the maximum you can have, right? We accepted and went back to our table. While there, we all agreed to go to the liquor store next door and buy our own bottle of booze. That way we could have shots. They snuck it in and we started drinking. My aunt came up and asked us if we are having a good time. We told her that yes, and we clarified about the alcohol rules. She pretty much said the same thing as the bartender. We didn't want to hide it from her, so we told her that we got our own bottle of alcohol. She was shocked and seemed a little sad. She told us, you know, your cousin spent a lot of money on the open bar. Make sure she doesn't see or she would be upset. After she left the table, we went to the bar and socialized a bit and got whatever drinks we could think of from the bartenders just to support our cousin. Overall, it was a good night and we had a good time in New York. But am I the asshole for sneaking in a bottle when there was an open bar, but they wouldn't serve us the drinks we wanted?
I feel like that's the time that you just bring the bottle to the room. You're staying in a hotel?
No, it's not a hotel. It's just a venue.
Oh, okay. I don't really think you're an asshole for that. I think you're just annoying, but...
Sorry, I read this poorly. Sorry for all the hiccups there. It's because the writing was no commas, you know, those type of like long sentences talking about dresses a lot. I think that I understand that the bartender has rules about what he can serve and not serve, but in a private event, in a private venue, if somebody just has their own bottle, they are not in public, not on the streets, they can drink whatever they want too. Like, it's a little disrespectful to the venue, but it's who cares? Like, it's an open bar anyway, in the sense of like the venue is not losing money.
No, but like what they could have done, I think they could have been tactical about it, not tell anybody. Not even the aunt? Because I would imagine if I paid for open bar and my friends were sneaking in booze, I'd feel kind of like bad.
But you feel bad, why?
Because I paid a bunch of money to, you know.
You feel like you wasted the money.
Yeah, because it's like, well, you don't like my standards, or maybe I'm being too cheap.
Mm.
Right?
So, yeah, but at the same time.
It's like if I had a thing and I catered for 20 people and I paid for everything and then somebody ordered McDonald's, I'd feel kind of like, I'm like, well, now I feel like a jerk, you know?
I guess that's what the auntie was saying about, like, yeah. Oh, your cousin is going to be disappointed because they spend a lot of money on this. Yeah, but I also find the rules. Okay, if they were still drinking the cocktails and whatever from the bar and they just had a little bottle for shots on the side, I feel like a lot of people pregame, a lot of people bring flasks.
Yeah, pregame flask, all good.
Yeah, I don't feel like sneaking some shots is necessarily like a disrespect to the open bar, but I'm impressed on those rules. I didn't know that they couldn't sell.
I don't know, but it seems like also, I don't know those rules either. I feel like they should have looked at, if they're looking up an adios motherfucker, they should have looked up the rules of New York.
Okay, look, an adios motherfucker at a wedding, on like on a...
Well, these are very class people. You're finding the most class people stories.
I know, but I'm also thinking like, if it's a wedding, and it's probably a venue, so it's like a makeshift bar, you don't order anything off the menu. Right? Like you look at the menu and you choose whatever in the menu that would, because people just don't have stuff. It's like sometimes you'll be doing like an open bar event on a park, like outdoors with a plastic table, and somebody comes to you and asks, can you make an espresso martini? And I'm like,
no.
Why would I?
Yeah, you get red wine, white wine, sparkling, or highball.
Yeah. And so I feel like that they were being kind of like that. I think that they asked for the strongest thing on the menu and the guy probably had a Manhattan on it and like, I can't make a Manhattan. And like, oh, no, this is just mixed booze. How about an adios motherfucker? Like, I doubt that he would have blue curacao just laying around in a hotel when they're making other drinks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're the jerk. I don't think anybody's an asshole. I think it's just a level of decorum.
Yes.
So I'm not going to say asshole. I'm not going to say not the asshole. I'm going to say decorum factor.
But I feel like them asking for their own cocktails and Googling the ingredients for the bartender is more rude than sneaking in a bottle.
Yeah, I think that's the ruder thing. It's just like you're at a... Yeah.
I think if they just came in, asked for shots, the guy said he couldn't serve them shots. They just got their drinks and then they sneak in a bottle for shots and it ended there. Would have been better. I think it's because it seems like it was retaliation because they couldn't get what they wanted. It doesn't feel like it's just... Oh, let's fix this problem with the shots.
Yeah, because I would have been like, oh, you can't do shots at Jameson. Give me Jameson on the rocks.
And the guy said he could do that, and they could have just shot it anyway. Yeah. So, no, you're right. There's no consensus here. No one, as over now, like, people couldn't decide. somebody did criticize a top comment saying, you are allowed to have multiple drinks, just no shots. You just get whatever standard, uncomplicated drink is being served. Is this your first wedding? Why do you need to get drunk so fast?
Yeah, true. True.
You could have just accepted the rules, right?
It could have been like that family we heard about a couple of weeks ago where they made fake alcohol.
The
drinking family.
That's a bit different.
I feel like they're all connected. Do we have one more before we have to go?
Yes, we do. Give me one second.
Before the blender goes off?
This is not really... this is not really about open bars, but it's about bars in general.
Okay.
Sorry, I took a screenshot. Give me a second. But this is a good discussion. I would like to have this discussion with you. Okay. Am I the asshole for not caring about adult language around a child when I'm sitting at a bar? So I was sitting at a bar in our local joint. The bar was full. Three people leave, and a couple with their 10-year-old daughter takes an open seat. About 5 minutes later, I was having a drink and my wife uses the F-bomb in a casual conversation.
Frankenstein?
Yeah, probably. The dad dude turns to me and politely asks us to watch our language. I told him that a bar is not a place for a child. And if he didn't want to expose his daughter to curse words, then he maybe shouldn't take her to a bar. Am I the asshole?
I 100% agree with you.
I think with the person, with the OP.
Yeah, don't bring children to a bar.
I know, I agree. By the way, the verdict is not the asshole, because everyone has said, not the asshole, a bar is an adult area. If a child can't handle a curse word, they shouldn't be in that area.
Also, many of the states in the U.S., a child can't sit at a bar seat.
I think maybe they sold food as well, so it's kind of like restaurant bar or something.
No, still can't sit at a bar.
Okay, in this story, the child is at the bar.
So yeah, then
we don't know if it's US.
Yeah, if it's a, like, let's say it's a game or something, people are like watching something and they're at a table. Like, I'll give an example for Tacolicious, right? If people are here, we don't like, we don't play Super Bowl or anything anymore, but if it's a packed night and somebody has a family, we're not like a sailor bar, we're not cursing and everything, it's a restaurant. But like, if people are drinking stuff, there is going to be some language used, right?
Also, I think it's harder because it's a stranger without kids and you are saying, what's your language? Like, why? Yeah. Like, you're not my father. I don't work for you. Like, yeah. Why would I watch my language? Like,
I think if you're going up to a child, just cursing at a child.
Sure, that's wrong.
That's 100% wrong.
But you're having your own private conversation.
But like, if I'm at an event, like I'm at somebody's house and there's children walking around, I don't drink because I don't think drinking in front of children is appropriate. But if I'm at a bar, that's a drinking spot for adults.
Yeah, it's an adult spot. So therefore, like, don't bring your kid to the area then. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why Disney on a cruise ship has adult areas and kid areas.
Yeah. Very much agree.
Like, don't curse in front of children unless it's if you're at a bar and there's a reason to curse.
Yes. Good agreed.
Good rules. Well, guys, thank you so much for this episode. I think we've talked a lot of shit about open bars, both good and bad.
It really brought the anger out of us.
So there's a lot of PTSD for bartenders for working in open bars. We've done it all. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's still fun. It's rewarding work. It's the accomplishment you get at the end of a crazy shift. You've worked with your hands the whole time. You've accomplished many small tasks in a matter of like really quickly. And you definitely had shots, but you've accomplished all these little tasks and you have these tickets in front of you, like a mountain of tickets, and then you're done. You're like, phew, I beat it.
Yeah. When you have like more tickets than the spike can handle, yeah. And you're like, yes, I did this
and it's over. That's like one of those feelings. It's like, I have accomplished something today. Like you feel real, there's like a load off your shoulders. Cause you go into it knowing, oh, this is going to suck. Oh, tomorrow's going to be the worst. It's going to be a nightmare. Oh, now there's 400 people. Great. And then you get through it and it's like, oh.
Also, time goes by very fast.
Yeah.
Like when you realize it's been 4 hours, you're like, yes.
Yes. So like there is vitriol, but at the same time, we do love it. Just like we love doing this podcast. So thank you everybody for listening to China on the Rocks. I'm Logan.
And I'm Anna.
Like and subscribe. Follow us on anything that you listen to podcasts on. Cheers.